Sorry, Pastor, I read from 1 Samuel 3:7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. My question now is, sir, how do you ascertain the call of God if you have one?
Sorry, what is the question again?
From this verse, how do you ascertain the call of God upon your life?
No, you cited something.
Yes, I cited 1 Samuel.
That said what?
Chapter 3, verse 7.
Yes.
Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And this is the state of many Christians, the average believer now. Now my question now, sir, is how do you ascertain if you have the call of God? That is one. Number two, if the call is unheeded, what are the consequences?
Well, let me quickly tell you that in this age that we are in now, in this period of grace, listen, when you say the call of God, you have to define it properly. Most of us, anytime you hear call, what comes to your mind is to go and gather people and watch over them. Pastoral call. Now, when it's more than that. Now, every Christian is called. Call to me is a call. All ye that labor and are heavy laden is a call that brought you to the altar to give your life to Christ. So every one of us, you want me to prove it? Praise the Lord. Okay, go to Romans chapter 8. See the way Apostle Paul put it. Verse 30. Go to verse 28, 29, 30. See, just watch the language there. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Is he talking about pastors?
No.
Evangelists?
No.
Prophets?
No.
All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29. Now, he now defined that call now. For whom he did foreknow, through foreknowledge, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, now he's defining it. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Correct water baptism. And whom he justified, them he also glorified by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is why I say all of us that are Christians, we are called according to his purpose. So when you say, how do I know the call of God upon me?
Yes, how do you?
There are different types of, there are two types of calls. Call to receive salvation and call to serve him. Now, the call to serve him, after you have answered the call for salvation, the call for service is determined by the gifts that you have after you have received the Holy Ghost. Your call is determined by your gifts. So when you say, how do I confirm the call of God in my life? They will confirm it by the gifts that you have. And you don't go to learn any gift. It is as the Spirit giveth utterance. There is no school like that. But you can be guided. Where you cited concerning Samuel. Now, Samuel didn't understand what was going on. He was in his room and he heard a voice shouting, Samuel. He thought it was Eli that called him. So he came to Eli. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. He went back again. He heard the voice again calling him. Then he came back. Eli now, being a prophet, now counseled him. When next You hear that voice. This is what you should say. That's all. It was a counseling. Now, I will also tell you, like my sister, anytime my hand, fire, Pastor, I don't understand. She didn't go to learn where to receive fire for hands. Now, I cannot say, anytime you see that fire on your hand, look around, somebody is sick. Place that hand on that sick person, the person will receive healing. That is a healing ministry. Praise the Lord. Okay, so that is how you identify your ministry.
Okay, the second part, I said...
You said, what happened if you...
Yes, unheeded. If unheeded.
If unheeded, can any man battle with the Lord? Who can resist the power of God? If God intends to use you, you can't resist Him. First and foremost, let me tell you, one evidence that it is a call is that it is the thing that gives you the most joy when you do. If it is from God, it is only when you, that is the thing that gives you the most joy. The thing that gives me the most joy is to stand and preach the word. Anywhere you call me to come and preach the word, I am. If you visit me and you are talking politics, I can get tired very easily. But when you say, explain this scripture, my. I can forget my food. Amen. So can you tell me I will refuse to preach when that is what gives me peace and joy? Yes. Sometimes as a human being, the area of the prophetic, that is where you have problem. All other areas, no problem. But the prophetic area has problem. Because not too many people want to hear thus said the Lord. And the message may not be palatable. And so you may have enemies. Look through the Bible. So many of them, the prophets, how they were hacked. There was one Jeremiah referred to that brought message to Israel. And they seized him and cut him to pieces. But shortly after, what he spoke came to pass. Jeremiah had the same experience. Isaiah had the same experience. Every prophet, remember, Micaiah received one slap one time. Oh yes. So when the prophet like Jonah refused to go and deliver a message, you know, if it's a prophetic, in fact, those with a prophetic gift, they are always scared of the reaction. Now it is human. It's human. But after so when they refuse to go, God will do to them as He did to Jonah. You can't stop. Some of them, He chained them here until they say, okay, I will. And some, He will take away His peace from you. You live a miserable life until you go deliver the message. That is only for that. Any other one is very sweet.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
Any other gift is sweet.
Thank you very much, sir. Lastly, talking about the last office of the fivefold offices, talks about the teaching, the office of a teacher. Can you throw more light? Because it seems as if it's one office that is not glamorous among the five offices.
No. No ministry is supposed to be glamorous. If you're looking for glamour, no ministry is supposed to be glamorous because the teaching ministry meets a lot of opposition, especially when he goes and finds himself before intellectuals. They will bring big grammar and resist you. So, none of them is easy. That is why everyone must be inspired by God. When he does it, he backs you up. He backs you up. So, concerning the teaching ministry, it's one of the commonest ministries, the teaching ministry, because he goes about. He's also the one that writes books. It's a teaching ministry that produces books, write books, not the type that they transcribe my sermon. No, I am not a teacher like that. In fact, I don't have time to write. But there are teachers. And when they break it down for you, you won't have too much questions to ask. But one that is not a teacher, he will add more confusion there. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yes, sister.
Hello, Pastor. We are having this experience. Sunday night, when I slept, in the midnight, I woke up. When I woke up, I went to the toilet. After easing myself, I said I should lie down. My body started shaking, my leg. So my spirit was hot. I feel that some bees are around the house. But yet, if I want to pray, I can't be able to pray. But my spirit is hot, praying.
No, you are thinking that it is as a result of some bad spirits around?
No, I feel that it's the angels of God around, because whenever they come around, I always know.
So what's your problem? You don't want angels to come? Next time, tell them, look, you angels, Mona, go away. Did you call them?
I didn't call them.
You didn't call them. So it means they are coming for a purpose. So what you should do is to say, if you cannot even talk in your heart, be talking to God, Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. See those angels? Some of us are praying every day, Lord, I want to see you. Come, I want to see this angel. This angel, where they make noise all around me. Why you not agree me see you? Eh? You they see them. You come, they make a younger. Very soon they will leave you and come to me. Since you don't want them.
My question is that if I want to pray, I can't be able to pray, but my
spirit
will pray.
At that hour?
Yes.
At that hour?
Yes.
Isn't it? But your spirit will be praying.
Yes.
It's a manifestation of the spirit. Eh? Your spirit will be praying.
Yes.
What is your spirit saying?
It's praying. I don't know. Just
you'll be
pray.
Hearing your spirit praying.
Yes. My body was shaking. Very hot.
Now, if you see Romans chapter 8 verse 26, open it. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. It says, likewise, look at the screen, sister. Sister, look at the screen. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That is what you are experiencing. It will continue until he has fully fulfilled the purpose for which he's doing it with you.
But always, I was asking God, the experience that I have during the camp, is it not that I didn't receive the Holy Ghost? So the voice I always speak. Whenever that voice speaks, I know that the thing will always come to pass. So the voice asked me to open Isaiah 56, 65, verse 8.
Isaiah?
65 verse 8.
65.
Yes.
Okay. 65 verse 8.
Yeah, it says, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine.
Okay, let me read it. Thus said the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster. And one said, destroy it not, for the blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sake, that I may not destroy them all. So he's saying there is a blessing in that visitation. Don't talk against it. God bless you. There is a blessing. Serious blessing there. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. My question is on the hymn book.
Hymn book.
Yes, I was reading an exposition of the seven seas. I come across a mountain.
That
mountain,
sorry.
Let's hear a call. Hello? Hello?
I'm asking the question.
I am hearing you. Ask your question.
Hello, good morning, sir.
God bless you. Good morning.
Sir, please, I want to ask a question. Please, is it a must that a born again Christian or someone that receives the Holy Ghost must pray for hours?
Okay, it's not compulsory. The length of time you pray determines...
When you want to pray, must you pray for hours?
Okay, Sister Stephanie from Switzerland, listen to the answer. The length of time it takes you to pray is determined by what you are praying for. The length of time you pray is determined by what you are praying for. Thank you very much. You can pray short prayer if the prayer point is a short one. But if it's a long one, certainly an intercessor will pray very long prayers. Because he may be having so many people to pray for. Also, somebody with a gift of the word of knowledge will be praying, and in the course of prayer, God may be showing the person a screen, a vision that makes him have more prayer points. Also, the person praying may be having a gift of speaking in tongues. We are getting the Spirit and the Holy Ghost takes over. Such a person will remain in that condition until the Spirit withdraws. So he could be speaking in tongues for hours. And some other person may just have a short prayer depending on what you are praying for. God bless you. Yes, your question.
My question is, I want you to clear me the difference between Martins under Pergamos and Luther under Sardis. I don't really know the difference. There's a confusion here.
Confusion of what?
You have Martins as a star messenger of Pergamos.
Yes.
Then you have Luther, star messenger of Sardis. There's what we call Martin Luther. What is the difference?
No.
But they are two different people entirely.
There is Martin Luther. Don't confuse me with Martin Luther King Jr.
Is it the first one, Martin Luther Jr.?
Martin Luther King Jr. is a human rights activist in America.
Okay.
I have a dream. He's the one that spearheaded the liberation of black oppression, racism in America.
Yeah, this Martin, what is the surname of this Martin? And Luther, what is the surname of Luther?
What is what?
The surname. I only find Martin here. I don't know the surname. Is it the one you call Martin Luther?
Luther is his surname. Martin is his name.
Yeah, but under Sardis, there's another Luther there.
Which other one again?
Under Sardis. There's Luther. According to this something here.
No, in St. Martin's. St. Martin's in the Pergamos church age.
Okay.
Not Martin Luther.
Okay, St. Martin's.
St. Martin's.
All right. Then we have under Sardis, Martin is what of Luther?
Eh?
The under Sardis is Martin Luther.
You are reading from somewhere. What does it say?
You only have their names there, no surname attached.
Oh, you are asking for their surnames?
Yes, so we are not for me to get clearance.
Praise the Lord. Well, in the case of Martin, we know him as Saint Martin.
Okay, I'm clear with that.
Yes, which one again?
The one of Luther. Columba is there. I'm not worried about Columba, but Luther. Luther before John Wesley.
Yes. Martin Luther. That's his name.
Okay. Sorry, sir. The other question I want to ask is in the areas of evangelism. Some, as you used to say, according to your experience or life history, while you were in prison, Ikoyi prison, some people came from America to give you this William Branham sermon book. And today, God has made you what you are by being the angel of this message in the Gentile dispensation. So I want to ask.
To do what?
I said God has made you
an angel
of the message.
In this dispensation.
This time.
No. There is only one angel in every dispensation.
Okay.
And for this dispensation, known as the Laodicean Church Age, it is the man William Marion Braham.
Praise God, sir.
God bless you.
And what I want to ask now is that in the sight of God, how would God now That man that made that effort to give you that something that exposed you to the message. In the sight of God, how would God treat you in terms of reward compared to that other evangelist?
Oh. There's a scripture. Which scripture is there that says, how beautiful are the feet of them that brings good tidings? Which scripture is that?
Romans 10:15.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, Romans 10:15.
This is the way the Bible puts it. It says, listen, from verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Then he said, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. From this scripture, you can see that when it comes to salvation, you discover that it is a process that is scattered among men. Everyone has his part to play. I received a text message earlier in the day. Somebody said, I received your tract. I received your tract in a bus along Oshodi Road. Please, where is this church located in Lagos? You see, somebody went to the bus and was distributing the tracts. He has done his own. He didn't know what the Holy Ghost is going to do with it. Now, that person through that tract is going to locate this church and is going to receive salvation. Now, how will he receive the salvation? He will come here, one of the pastors here will preach. And the person will hear the word and be saved. Now, when it comes to reward, both the person that gave that tract and the pastor that preached here, they have the same reward. Because it is their collective effort that brought that man in. So both the evangelist that goes to evangelize and the pastor that has the ability to keep them that evangelists have brought, they have the same reward. And a lot of people, when the Bible says, my servant, my servant, my servant, they are looking at the general overseer. Hey, there are servants of God everywhere. Including that who sweeps the church. I know some brethren that make it a point of duty. Before service starts, hours before service starts, I come here, I've seen many of them. They'll be arranging these seats. They'll be arranging the seats, cleaning everywhere. I came one time again. I saw some brethren that climbed chairs and they were dusting the fans. Everything you do in the body of Christ has a reward. The worst thing that can happen to you is to reject opportunity to have reward by being a redundant church member. A lot of people don't know it. And that's why in churches where it is properly taught, you see everybody there is actively doing one thing or the other. Because there is a reward. There is nothing you do in the body of Christ for the betterment, for the advancement of the kingdom that is not rewarded. I am telling you, that is the truth. The worst thing that you can do. Oh, I go from work in the morning, I close in the night. No time. But in that your work, you have money. You are paid. Use part of that money for the gospel. I'm telling you, that is the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do something for the gospel. Don't sit down reluctant. Those of you who have singing gifts, join the musicians. Those of you, you know, I spoke the other day and I limited myself to spiritual talents. There are also natural talents. There are talents you are born with and there are talents that you acquire. If you are a member of any professional body, you specialize in anything, it is a talent. Remember, it is God that gave you that ability. And you must also use it for God. You know something about electricity, is expected that you will join the electrical department. I'm telling you. There is a young man that said he was sitting somewhere here. When prayer was going on. He said a voice spoke to him. I will not answer you until you go and join them there. He resisted it. The second time he came again, unknown to us, he was a technician of this electronic something technician. And as at that time, they needed somebody like that badly. As at the time he was praying, he had no accommodation. Money to feed, nothing to feed. His life was in crisis. I mean crisis. But as soon as he yielded and went there, that day the head of that department, Brazil, said, he came to me and said, do you know we have somebody here? We were having a problem of connecting. He said, he just came, this one, shoot it out, and everywhere received. He said, we didn't know we have such a man here. And he's been working in that department since then. Shortly after, he got somebody who had no accommodation. He was squatting with somebody at Aja. He will leave there, that place, they gave them quit notice. No accommodation. Hanging here and here with two shirts and two trousers. As soon as he started, God gave him a two-bedroom flat. Now, they are calling him up and down everywhere for jobs. People don't know that the talent you are, if you are a lawyer, it was our legal department here. The brother here, the head of the legal department here, in 2009, he walked into my office and said that he said he's a lawyer. He heard that there are some lawyers. Say, why don't we come together and form a legal department? He said, because you never can tell. This is a public place. So if there is anything. Oh, we say, oh, go ahead. That's very good. About 3 months after that, that was when this fight began. For this land. And they took him immediately to take the people to court and tie them here. And as soon as he began that, come and see jobs everywhere. Come and see serious cases everywhere. Amen. They were looking for him, cases, politicians, giving him millions of naira to start cases for them. And then shortly after that, he was awarded, what do you call it? Became a notary public. No, that is, you know what a notary public is? You know, you want to go to the embassy, they need something from a court. They honor their stamp more than the one for court. When you come to him, he has a stamp, he stamps it and signs it. And it was the Lagos State Chief Judge that swore him in. Some of our ministers, you were there. Obina, all of you, you were there in the ceremony that was done in Alausa. Why? Because he offered us service. And it was free. Of course, you don't expect to be paid when you are working for your father. Praise the Lord. And people don't know it. The more you do it, the more in that your area you begin to prosper. Because you are using that talent for God. A lot of people I know, There's nothing you are contributing to the body of Christ. It is wrong. God will demand it from you. You know how to play any instrument? Join the musicians. You're into electronics? Our electronics spoil every day. Fix it here. You know what to do with generators? Go into the generator. Join them there. You're an electrician? You know electricity here. You are in the building profession, an architect, an engineer? Join them. Give useful advice. We'll soon be building our cathedral. Oh, I join them. And I don't have anything. I don't have any work to do. No job. Come here where work is going on. Become laborer. They carry sand. They go. Give them. Carry wheelbarrow. Carry wood. After all, I don't get work. Make I go work for my father's house. Watch and see what he does for you after that. People don't know. Praise the Lord. You are a driver. There are some brothers. Anytime we are going for rally, they say they are busy at work. They will drive here and drop their cars and drop the keys and they will go. In the evening, they come from their work, come here and pick their cars and go. They have given their car to go for rally since they cannot go. Praise the Lord. It's a service for God. Go around them and see how God blesses them. Do you know in this church, every Tuesday, people come here to clear all the grass on the main road and in the church environment. They form themselves together. They call themselves environmental sanitation ministry. They are all, they come here every Tuesday. You see them dressing like prisoners. And they do it happily. Go among them and hear the type of testimonies that go on among, in their midst. They clean up everywhere. That is why Minister of Environment, they went to one church near us one time. They closed that place for a dirty environment. And when they came here, I don't know whether it is Obina that saw them. One of you there. When you saw their vehicle on the road here, one time they stopped from Alausa and you went to them and said, any problem? He asked them, where are you from? He said, from Bride. They say, oh, we are very happy with Bride Assembly. We saw how you're taking care of this area. You've been taking care. He said, we don't have problem with you. It is courtesy of those brethren that come here every Tuesday to do it. Do you know that toilet is clean every time because some brethren have volunteered to be cleaning it? Do you know some sisters bring cleaning materials to donate to them to make that place look fresh? It is using your talent. I advise every one of you, make sure that you can sit down and at the end of the day, look at yourself that there is something you are doing for the advancement of the kingdom. You should pick this, our magazine, somebody here, what do you call it? One your pastor. I know a brother that every month he gives 10,000 naira. And the printer prints copies, 10,000, you know, naira worth of copies for him. And all he does is in his environment, he has a particular spot he goes to stand. Every time, he will pray, Lord, anyone that read it. And then he's giving everybody like that. In your place of work, certainly you can distribute something. You can buy our newsletters. Even those tips you give out, you don't know what God will use it to do for somebody. Our books, buy it and give it to somebody regularly. These are things you do for the advancement of the kingdom. None of us must be redundant.